In this episode, we discuss the aptly named The Last Airbender. Welcome to the Flophouse. I'm Dan McCoy.
Whoosh, 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 whoosh. I'm Stuart Wellington.
And I'm Elliot Kalin.
Wow, you got a new sound effect every week this time.
Well, the thing that was cool about that was the sound my movements were making as I was doing my airbending.
Your airbending? Mm-hmm. But don't tell me the Flophouse house cat is gone.
Oh, no. He just hasn't shown up yet.
Okay, good. Well, when he does, I hope it's a big fanfare.
I'm sure it will be. Oh, he's great.
Fan favorite, the Flophouse house cat.
So sure, I got to say, I don't care to have my air bent. Like,
no?
You know, you're in my apartment. You come in. You start bending my air.
Yeah.
You didn't even ask. Like, I don't know if you could straighten the air back out.
I don't think that's possible.
It's easier to breathe that way. It's better for my skin.
Yeah, bent air doesn't fit down the throat as easily.
Sure. I mainly do it for the cardio workout, to be honest, guys.
Uh-oh. Yeah,
and to attract a mate.
I thought it would be to
like a peacock. Well, it's,
I see a lot of old ladies in the park airbending.
Yeah.
In the mornings.
Yeah. In what, like the Sunset Park?
I mean, it seems to have worked for you. You have attracted a mate.
Yeah, and how do you think I did that?
I don't seem to remember you airbending before.
You weren't there.
Yeah, you weren't there.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know what happens behind closed doors.
It was all part of my ritual.
Mm-hmm. So this talk of airbending isn't just coincidental, as I'm sure you thought, listener.
It isn't from out of nowhere.
We watched The Last Airbender
tonight.
Nope,
it's just called The Last Airbender.
Is it?
They removed Avatar from the title.
Yeah, completely.
Holy fucking shit.
Yeah.
You didn't. Well, you saw the movie with this.
Did you not see the opening title credits?
I saw the promos for the movie that were called Avatar The Last Airbender.
Yeah,
I don't think so. I think you're making that up, because I think it was always The Last Airbender, right?
When they first announced it, it was Avatar The Last Airbender.
Oh, okay.
And then they removed Avatar.
Why was that? Why did they change it?
Another movie.
Okay.
Came out called Avatar.
Is it based on the same thing?
No, based on a different thing, and it turned out to be the highest grossing movie of forever, I think. Hmm.
Sure. Was that movie called Avatar again? Was there an Avatar in it?
It was about people's GChat icons.
Yes, it was about message boards.
They're Xbox Live characters.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it was originally called GIF, animated
sure.
GIF.
Glad that we cleared that up. It was called the Lolcat.
Or a house cat?
No, he's
still
not here.
Yet. No, still not here.
He's out. He's out. Town getting around.
I still haven't seen
Tomcatting around.
I still haven't seen Avatar. I may never at this point.
Really?
Avatar: The Last Airbender or Avatar?
I think
seriously missed your chance because
I think I did too.
Because I've been doing like promo animations for Cinemax. We got HBO and Cinemax as a package. We hadn't had them for a while, and Avatar is on HBO recently.
Look at Mr. Big Money over here as HBO and Cinemax.
No, this is like,
oh, I have the premium channels.
No, the thing is like, this is my
I can
guilt.
Watch.
I know what you do late at night.
I can watch erotic confessions on demand.
I fall asleep to a rebroadcast of Sorority Row. That's what I do.
Oh, awesome.
No, but no. I say it because of like my weird sense of guilt of the fact that like we don't make a lot of money, so I feel like I need to justify it to my listeners. Like, it's all right. It's all right that I have premium cable, guys.
No. You want them to think that we're like top of the world. They have to look up to us.
Yeah,
like
come on.
We're some kind of
Speaking
millionaires.
Speaking as someone who does make a lot of money, it's a waste of money for you to get those channels.
Sure.
Speaking as someone who's talking to you who makes a lot of money, I want to punch you in the face. But anyway,
Flophouse house cat, save us. Yeah.
My point was,
oh man, somebody. It's because I broke out the beluga caviar.
He eats only the best.
My point,
he's got a refined taste.
That guy,
a refined power.
He is the original party animal, but in an elegant way.
No, he's not the original. He's
elegant
far from
elegant
the original.
Parties.
Okay.
The original elegant party animal. Okay.
It's a little different.
No, but I've
Eating
seen.
Fancy Feast and the crystal dish. He invented that.
I've seen bits and pieces of Avatar on HBO. Now I'm like, wow.
The Last Airbender?
No. The James Cameron film.
Okay.
This does not play in regular D.
I figure I will never see it unless it's re-released again in 3D.
Yeah. If television commercials are to be believed, the best way to watch it is from the screen of your telephone. Your mobile telephone device.
They do advertise that. Yeah.
It's like the lizard things that those blue guys ride on just flies right out of the screen.
Here's what I say about that. Ironically, it might be right in the sense that like you either need to see it in IMAX 3D where like you're immersed in this crazy world, or you need to see it on a tiny screen where the cartoonishness of everything is not noticeable.
And yeah, and you can move your telephone back and forth, so it's like
Dr. Tung's House of Horrors or whatever on SCTV.
Or just like the phone's coming at you. Whoa! 3D phone!
Yeah, absolutely.
So, The Last Airbender.
Here's a tip for the fans at home. You could do that with any object.
Yeah.
Create your own 3D movie by just moving something closer and farther away from your face.
Don't do something sharp, though.
No.
No sharp things.
That won't hurt you.
If it makes you feel better, wear glasses. You could probably go to a thrift store and get some old glasses and take the glass out of it.
I don't know why. Oh, just because like 3D glasses.
Just for the frames.
Oh, okay. For the funny.
I thought you meant for protective, and it would take the lenses out. It's not protecting your eyes.
No. Well, yes.
It's just protecting the square of skin slightly around
your
eye.
If you feel worried that if you're zooming things in and out towards your eyes, you're going to hit yourself in the eye, you should wear protective goggles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably like a blast shield, right?
Yeah.
Sure. Absolutely. Like the thing that Luke Skywalker puts over his face when he's fighting that weird little ball.
And maybe you should put a pot holder on your hand just in case what you're holding is hot.
That's a good point.
Okay,
And you know what? Just move your hand towards your face with a pot holder on it. That's all the 3D you need.
Yeah.
Who needs these avatars with their blue people?
But don't do that around anybody who's telling you that's a way to find out if you have AIDS or not, because you're just going to get your hand smashed into your own face.
Yeah, that's not what actually happens.
And
it's
do not accept a Hertz donut.
Sure.
Yeah, to quote Admiral Akbar, really? It's a trap.
Oh, that's so topical now.
Turn that into a quote.
Check you out, internet guy.
Listen, what can I say? I know memes.
You know your Akbars.
Of all the Akbars, I think Admiral was the best.
There's Akbar and Jeff, and there's Admiral Akbar. It's a close race, actually. But only one of them is a giant fish eyes.
Yeah, a squid man.
Mm-hmm.
And the race is called a...
They're from Mon Calamari.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
All right. So, The Last Airbender.
It's a planet that was discovered by Italians.
Okay. It means my squid.
So, The Last Airbender, huh?
Yep.
Okay. So, how does this... paint us a picture. How does this movie open?
This movie opens with people... Tai Chi-ing.
Yeah, doing like Gymkhana or some shit,
with their elements. It's a magical world where the four elements, earth, fire, air, and water...
are not a popular funk group.
Nope. Because that's the name of the earth. Earth, water, air, and fire. Earth, fire,
it's
and water.
You know, it's an alternate universe. Very much like our own.
An alternate universe where there still was never a musical group with that name. it's a magical kingdom. People can bend elements, which means they do, you know, Tai Chi dancing, and the elements fly around them. It's telekinesis, basically.
Yeah.
And the fire people who can bend fire are trying to take over the world.
I mean, by bending fire, it just means that when they do their little dancing around, fire flies all over the place.
And as I said during the movie,
it gets everywhere.
This is like Harry Potter, where like the fire people might as well be Slytherin. Like all the evil people have this firepower, and that's how you know that they're
fire
evil.
Means you're bad.
Yeah.
To quote Frankenstein's monster, fire bad.
Yep.
I'm gonna be doing a lot of quotes today.
A lot of famous monster quotes tonight.
Just because I've quoted Frankenstein's monster and a man squid doesn't mean that all my quotes will be monsters. And Admiral Akbar, I'll remind you, was a patriot and a military hero.
Okay,
hardly a monster.
A rebel. He was a rebel.
Yeah, but then they won, and history is written by the winners.
Okay. Sure.
So
Mon Mothma's Ghost.
I think that should be the name of your band, Mon Mothma's Ghost.
So these different – there's like four different groups of people, right? And they can all do different magic.
They can all bend
different things. But there's one special Buddha Dalai Lama type.
And then warp forward, we're in an Eskimo tribe.
Yes, we're in an Eskimo tribe. There's two kids, a boy and a girl. They're brother and sister. They find a kid with tattoos all over him, locked in an iceberg with a giant flying sky bison.
Yeah.
And
sounds reasonable so far.
You know, we can just they find this kid, and over the course of a million scenes of people talking exposition to each other, it turns out he is the Avatar, the fabled reincarnation of this Buddha Dalai Lama character who can bend all four elements. Mm-hmm. But he ran when he learned about the pressure he would be under to be the Avatar, he ran away and was never trained in anything but airbending.
He rejected his quest in the Joseph Campbell terms.
Yes.
Yeah.
So and then we should have rejected the movie at that point.
Yeah, and then he goes home to, like, talk to his buddies and tell them that, you know, he shouldn't have run away. And then, oops, he's been in ice forever and they're all dead.
They're all dead. It's the Aunt Beru, Uncle Owen moment.
It's Captain America all over again, right, Elliot?
Nope, not at all.
I mean, come on. He was in ice for a while and then everyone he knew was dead. Bucky was dead?
I mean, Bucky died when he was frozen in ice. It's not like Bucky died when he was away.
All right, but all his other friends, his non-Bucky friends, were all dead.
They're still
dead
old.
Too.
They're just old.
Okay. Yeah. Like Nomad.
Well, Nomad came in later.
No.
He wasn't friends with him in World War II.
What about Red Skull?
That's his enemy. They're not friends.
But he's not dead, though, right?
Well, he dies and comes back all the time.
Okay. But just because he has a skull doesn't mean he's like a skeleton.
All right, guys.
No, he has a human body with a skull face.
Even though I started this is not the Captain America
Look
cast.
What you started. Maybe it should be.
Capcast?
Let's talk about let's
Hey, guys. Capcast. It's Capcast. We have a real coup tonight. We have Captain America writer Elliot Kamen.
I hope the Capcast house cat comes by.
We're going to have to check Capcast after this because it's going to be like that time we did the water lover thing.
Yeah. Yeah, Aquafan, it was.
Aquafan, yeah.
We mentioned I thought there was an Aquaman fan site called Aquafan.
Yeah, that was going to be our ticket into getting into Comic-Con, right?
Yeah, but mm-hmm. when we looked up that website, it was a blog devoted to underwater sex with one posting. And the posting was just, underwater sex, has anyone tried it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's what I call waterbending.
No!
Wait, I don't get it. Oh, no, I got
When you're older.
Sure.
So, basically, the Avatar's got to go around and learn how to bend all this stuff and beat
Avatar's
the fire.
Avatar's got to eat.
And the whole time, you're saying. Yeah, and the whole time he's got these fire assholes chasing him down. You know, the guys who are all dressed in, like, you know, black suits and have crazy helmets. And
yeah.
At no point are they like, wait, are we the bad guys? That sort of thing.
And they walk around and they ride giant evil-looking ships.
And dewbacks.
And they ride dewbacks. Yeah. Or rontos, you said. It might
no,
have been a ronto.
They're not rontos.
What are rontos?
Rontos are the things with the long necks that were introduced.
Oh, yeah,
that's edition.
Right. Yeah, they're dewbacks.
Yeah. So, glad we came up with
Star Wars nerds. They look more like the lizard that Obi-Wan is riding in episode 3.
That makes the weird, annoying sound?
Yeah, the one that's chasing the robo-wheel with General Grievous in it.
Sure.
That's the scene in that movie where I said, this was designed to sell toys. Why else would they both have different vehicles?
And then the moment when the Order 66 is passed down, that's the monster that gets shot, right?
I don't remember that part.
Okay.
Well,
so,
anyway,
we were talking
they're
about
being
something.
Chased by the fire guys, but uh-oh, even the fire guys don't see eye to eye because there's the king of the fire dudes, then there's his head general.
I love that movie, King of the Fire Dudes.
Then there's the king is his son of the prince, played by Slumdog Millionaire's Dev Patel.
Sure.
Fantastic performance. He's an outcast. He's been cast out of the fire people. Sure. He thinks finding the Avatar is his ticket to the big time.
Mm-hmm.
But he's in competition with the head general played by Daily Show correspondent Asif Manvi.
Your buddy.
Hilarious Asif performance.
Yep, co-worker of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And in what is actually the most subdued performance I think I've ever seen him give.
Yeah, I was going to – I said to you, Elliot, during the movie that I thought you were actually safe because Asif Manvi probably turns in the best performance in the film. So you know, there's no awkward lunches ahead, you know, because I know that he's a constant listener to the Flophouse.
Oh, huge Flophouse fan. Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think
– As soon as
also,
he finds out
he
what it is.
He also doesn't have any scenes where he has to, like, dance around while CGI shit happens.
He does the least amount of dancing around.
Which is – I mean, it's probably for the best, so you guys can't just show those clips over and over for him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we would stay away from that anyway.
Oh.
Can dish it out, but you can't take it, Daily Show? I see how it is.
Nope, cannot take it. But dish it out, we will.
Fox News might show it, though, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
over and over. To
they'll say,
take you down a couple pegs.
Fart bender? Yep. Daily Show's Asif Manvi makes a turd of a movie. As a turd,
that's,
the last
fart bender.
That's why
he gets the big bucks.
Wow. I didn't know that Fox News was so Mad Magazine about everything.
They are, yeah. They call us the Blechley Show.
That's good stuff.
And the Colbert rip, blech. It's all, everything's got eck in it. Mm-hmm. Anywho, so there's a lot of fighting and running around, and it doesn't make any sense, and it's really boring. And at the end, the airbender learns how to bend water, and the movie ends, and it's to be continued.
Yeah, it's like the airbender reaches out to the audience as if to say, another one, maybe?
But, I mean, even that shot, like that final shot of this totally uncharismatic kid with a black belt.
The kid obviously got the job because he's good at karate.
Yeah.
A very good actor.
So,
bless his heart.
But that final shot of him, he's like holding
his
hand out, and he does have this face like, is it okay?
Well, he's supposed to look like he's still afraid of the pressure of being the Avatar.
Yeah. Okay.
He doesn't want to be the Avatar. It's the, as Dan said, the rejection of the quest.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like,
he just wants to go down to Tashi Station to pick up some power converters.
The whole movie is rejection of the quest and finally acceptance of the quest. There's no actual resolution. I mean, this is
no.
And this movie,
well, it's amazing. This is an hour and 40-minute movie in which the hero doesn't decide to become the hero until the very end of it. There are whole movies that length that tell a complete story. And feel much and are much better.
How do they do it?
I don't understand. Like, but this thing, after watching this movie, I'm like, how does Star Wars make sense? It's like 2 hours long, but it has a whole story in it. Like,
yeah. The thing about it is that I think they could have told the story, but they spent all that time doing their fucking dance moves and shit.
There's a lot of long Tai Chi scenes.
Well, also a lot of scenes of people explaining things to each other at length while the camera is right up in their fucking faces.
You got to set up that trilogy, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, but like that's the thing. Like Star Wars, you know, like that. You know, Empire Strikes Back. Like they both tell; they're part of a larger story, but they tell satisfying tales in their own right.
Or Episode Two, mm-hmm. or Phantom Menace.
Sure, I don't know what those words mean. I'm not familiar.
But you're right. Yeah, you can
Crystal Skulls.
Okay.
It seems like film series no longer have chapters that are satisfying in and of themselves. I've seen two Harry Potter movies, the first one and the fifth one, and both of them were
bad choices.
Yeah, they were terrible, but both were unsatisfying at the end because it was like, that's it. Like, there was nothing. Even knowing they can't defeat Voldemort, like in the first movie, it should at least feel like something was accomplished. You know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it was a year of school. They accomplished that.
It didn't even feel like they did
schooling.
They it was like a week of school.
They learned their potions.
Alan Rickman was in it.
When does Harry Potter have time to study when he's busy like solving puzzles in the basement of the school with giant chessmen and things?
In my Harry Potter slash fiction, you'll find that it's chock full of him doing study sessions late into the night with Draco Malfoy.
Okay. Let's not hear about that.
Expelliarmus.
Studying the possibilities of pleasure.
Just go to Stuart's blog. Harry Pacquafan blogspot.com.
That doesn't exist.
No, yet.
Well, yeah, of course. So we've had a lot of laughs here today, guys. Wait, are we done yet?
Is that it?
We did not say anything about the movie.
It's really terrible.
He told most of the story.
No, he didn't. Actually, there's never been less content. No, I'm not arguing against it. I'm just saying that the movie itself defies.
Okay, let's take this movie. We got this cast of characters. We got this bald kid with a chubby face mm-hmm. who's got magic kung fu, okay? Mm-hmm. He looks really uncomfortable the entire movie. Then he's got
there's
some
the girl
that follows
two Eskimo
him around.
Friends.
Yeah, and then that kid with
who
the
are
annoying
totally
haircut.
White.
Everyone's white except the bad guys
who are
Indian.
The kid with the boomerang. Yeah. And then you got the weird girl with the white hair and the dark eyebrows.
She's the princess of the water
with like clear blue, you know, Steve McQueen eyes. I was trying to think of someone with blue eyes. That was the best I got.
Mickey Blue Eyes.
Okay.
It's right there. Hugh Grant.
Yeah.
Come on.
Known for his blue eyes.
Known for, he's famous for his blue eyes.
So you got them. You got Ron Silver and Dev Patel.
Yes,
it's not Ron Silver. It's a bearded man who's
no,
following
it's Ron Silver.
Dev Patel's uncle follows him and is his consigliere slash, you know, helper.
And he looks like a cross between Tommy Chong and Ron Silver.
You got Asif Manvi and
the king of the bad guys.
Yeah, the king. I'm king of the bad guys. That's a pretty cool title.
That's a good name for a supervillain, King of the Bad Guys. I'm gonna write that down.
Or like that's like an aging rocker's like bad comeback album, King of the Bad Guys.
King of the Bad Guys.
He's got a leather vest on the album cover.
Yep.
with white chest hair showing through.
He's got a motorcycle and he's hanging out in an alley.
What's he doing there? So those are all the characters.
That's the Purple Rain cover, isn't it?
And then you got that fucking six-legged luck dragon he's riding around.
Oh yeah, whose name is Appa? He's a sky bison.
Sure, that's.
I did some research after the movie.
Wikipedia research, the best kind.
That's still research. Actually, to find out the name of the sky bison in The Last Airbender, Wikipedia research is the best research.
It's true.
What, am I going to go to the biographical encyclopedia for that?
To learn the
let me just crack open my OED to find out about the sky bison.
To learn the causes of World War I, perhaps Wikipedia is not your best choice, but Last Airbender, Airbender trivia.
Let me look in the index of periodical literature, see what it tells me about
Prisoner of Airbender.
Appa, the Sky Bison.
Yeah.
I mean, everything about the movie, it's very boring and very poorly written and not well acted and terribly shot. The action scenes are really boring.
Oh, man.
Special effects are boring.
So, did you say that it was like the entire season of a television show condensed?
Yeah, no, that was what it was.
Yeah, they tried to do the first season of Avatar.
What the fuck do they do in the television show for an entire season? Like, more of that karate shit or what?
Well, I would accept...
maybe flesh out the characters and...
Yeah, I would actually... It's a weird thing where, like, the slowness of this as a movie bothered me more than, like, it would as a TV show. Well, I would accept a whole season of someone learning that they're a hero.
Yeah, but a whole movie is. But also, like, it was so choppy.
Well, like the show Heroes?
Mm-hmm.
Every scene was... We've got to do this thing. We'll go to the other place. Cut to next scene. They're in a totally different setting. Okay, but now we've got to go somewhere else. Cut to next scene. They're in a totally different part of the world. Like, it's – you could tell that they were trying to squeeze in
handily,
like scenes from episodes.
The different parts of the world handily had made-up titles on screen.
Constantly.
So it's like, oh, this is South Airbender or whatever.
This is the Northern Ice Castle.
Yeah. Like, thank you for – Located me in this made-up geography. Let me consult my Airbender Atlas.
The map that comes in your Blu-ray disc you bought. It's a fold-out map.
To orient myself. I get my iPod app out. And
you didn't know that every Blu-ray disc comes with a map of where the movie takes place?
Sure, and it comes with a scroll for learning airbending magics or something.
Okay.
I didn't read it.
I forgot to mention that at one point Asif kills a magic fish, thus briefly turning the moon red until someone, I guess, gives up their chi to become a fish.
Yeah,
and
the girl with the pretty eyes does.
And then everything's okay again.
Yep.
Yeah, that was the climax, huh? That was part of the climax.
But see, that's the kind of thing that could work in a season of a show. Like, you build up why this fish is so important. He gets killed. Mm-hmm. You have an episode or two where things are bad. And then a character that we've come to know after a while sacrifices himself to save the world.
But there was
except
that scene where
over the course
her and
of...
that kid with the boomerang talked for a while and talked about why he hates sand so much.
You're thinking of a scene from Star Wars Episode 2.
Oh, my mistake. There's some similarities, though, right? No, it was 2.
So this movie...
over the course of 4 minutes, a big thing happened. The world was irreparably changed. Someone sacrificed their life, and then it was over.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing... Nothing more dramatic than watching a grown man awkwardly stab a fish in a bag. It's called shooting fish in a bag for a reason, guys. So,
that if you take nothing more from us about The Last Airbender, it is that. But there's a scene of a grown man awkwardly stabbing a fish in a bag.
And
something that's clearly not
a
real fish in a bag, by the way. Like, it's like they got the most rudimentary robot to like jerk back and forth inside this bag.
Like a robot fish?
Yeah, like a robot fish.
Like in Blade Runner?
Yes.
A
replicant. It was
a
replicant fish.
It was a skin job. That's
a
replicant
fish.
I'm glad you called yourself out for
a
that.
A scale job, it's
for
called.
That slur.
A scale job.
A fin job.
Yeah, so...
A Steve job.
But the action sequence,
Steve Jobs are replicants.
Yeah, what's he going to do about it?
The action sequence that we're talking about, where a grown man stabs a fish with a knife, probably about as good as all the other action sequences in this movie.
Oh yeah, if you
probably
like
as
your
good
action
as the action any action sequence ever.
Yeah, I would say so. If you like your action sequences slow and with nobody coming more than 3 feet away from each other. Then
with the camera drifting aimlessly around in a circle.
I feel like this is a...
Why'd they need that kid to have a black belt? Because he doesn't ever touch anybody. He just does a bunch of dancing.
Well, he does a lot of...
They could have gotten one of them Glee kids.
He's not even like...
One of them Gleeks.
He's also doing just like Tai Chi style martial arts. It's not like
airbending.
He's doing crazy, you know,
I think it's called airbending.
Combat or anything. You know, like they could have gotten a better actor.
It's,
yes,
it,
to airbend.
It feels like it was a movie that was shot at like a Catholic school dance where like you had everyone would get really close to fight and then the nuns would come by and be like, leave some room for the Holy Ghost there, kids. Like step 3 feet apart. Now you can fight.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it's like...
Irish nuns.
Yeah, of course they are.
Sure.
I thought you were going to say it was like a movie where it was made at a school and they're like, okay, who's good at airbending?
Yeah.
All right, you're the lead.
You're the lead in the play.
Mm-hmm.
The last airbender play.
Which of you has tattoos on your head? Okay, you get to do it.
Let's cast the bald boy. He's been very sad since he had leukemia, though now it'll work in his favor.
Sure.
Was I the only one who every time I saw him, it made me feel really sad for
no,
someone because I worried he was sick?
Yeah, that works.
You can't have a bald kid in a movie.
He also is like making a sad face the whole movie.
Yeah, well, he was sad he was in The Last Airbender.
Sure.
He was terrified someone might notice his acting at every moment.
I think I'm going to say it. You know what? I'm just going to go and say it. M. Night Shyamalan is not good at directing actors.
Okay.
I'm just going to say it.
Well, I'm going to say
this.
What
about action? Is he good
at directing
action? He's not
good at directing
action.
He's not good at that either. But I was saying this combined with the scene in The Happening where Mark Wahlberg denies that he's going to kill that old lady and goes, what? No! In a way where you're like, oh my god, he's a murderer.
Well, it's
M. Night Shyamalan's not very good.
It's weird, though, because like Bruce Willis is not an actor of tremendous range. And I mean, he can be good in things, but he can be very bad in things. But he was, you know, he was good in M. Night Shyamalan's first couple movies.
All he had to do was be very quiet and look down at the ground and,
yeah, that's true.
And be sad.
Yeah.
I mean, he happened to have got a leading man there who was... had a nobility about him when he looked sad and quiet.
What about Bryce Dallas Howard? She gives some...
She's cute.
Some stirring performances.
I find her pretty. That's what I'll say about her.
Wow. Real perceptive analysis of her performing style, Dan.
Well,
but I think that's another example.
Mr. Skin over here.
I didn't say anything about... I was
see
her naked in Mandalay. That was not what I...
Oh, now you're telling people where you can see her naked. Come on.
It's my...
Mandalay Bay, the casino?
Yes.
Or a hotel,
yes,
whatever
go
it is?
Down.
Go
to
the
Las
bathroom in the basement.
Wait for Bryce Dallas Howard to enter. That's her favorite casino.
Sure. But she's got this weird issue where when she poops, she has to take off all her clothes.
You know, like a little kid does.
Yeah. So you have to hide up in the ceiling. Uh-huh. When she takes off all her clothes, you got to get some snaps.
Just use your spider powers to
snaps.
Stick to the ceiling.
Like a paparazzo.
No, I thought you were going to be like, oh, your father's so bad at directing, he made the Da Vinci Code. Like, I thought that was a sort of snap.
Dan, you are of the street.
I thought The Da Vinci Code was one of his better movies.
Well, you are wrong.
Well, that's too bad.
Incorrect. That is factually incorrect. That is an error of judgment.
Guys, let's save it till we see Bryce Dallas Howard in the bathroom, okay? At the Mandalay Bay.
Save this argument over the merits of The Da Vinci Code until we are in a casino restroom with a nude Bryce Dallas Howard.
You're laughing too much. I can't hear your joke.
Okay.
It's this is a situation it's impossible to not think about when you're watching The Last Airbender.
Sure.
Being at the Mandalay Bay Casino.
With a naked Hollywood starlet,
Bryce Dallas Howard,
Hollywood royalty
dump. Okay, she's gone to the buffet. She ate her fill. Maybe at Mario Batali's,
maybe a little too much,
And maybe some Wolfgang Puck or something.
Yep.
And she's got to go drop
she's
it
had
off.
Eight different types of gelato,
sure. Because I guess that's Las Vegas.
No, it's a thing.
They call it gelato.
Okay,
when you have eight different types.
And then we stand around making snaps at this naked actress.
Yep.
Sure.
And talk about airbending.
Sure, of course.
Sounds fun, guys. When can we do it? I got a few weeks in my schedule.
Check your watch. I like that type of joke.
not good for the podcast.
Some good visual acting for the podcast.
Listeners can't see me check my watch.
I'm doing all this great mime work. Unfortunately, they can't see me.
Sure. I'm doing all this great dancing, airbending type stuff.
A lot of air is being bent.
It's hilarious.
Airbending. And the music was bad, too. Hey.
Yep.
Yeah, James Newton Howard, you suck.
It is a...
Wow.
Burn.
You called him out.
I just burned him with my firebending.
Yeah. It's a... Don't see this movie. A lot of money was spent on it. It could have been spent feeding stray cats.
Now, this movie was what the Onion just...
And you're allergic to cats.
Yeah,
so,
I don't even
wow.
like them, and I'd still prefer that.
Kind of recently, the Onion gave this movie the worst of 2010.
Yeah, of this taping yesterday, the worst of 2010 list came
Hard
out.
Hard for me to disagree, really.
Yeah, Onion AV gave this the number one slot.
Yeah, we did
Jonah
watch...
Jonah Hex came in number three.
Okay, yeah. So I can't argue about that one. And I've seen number two... That was Sex and the City 2, sure. And
now, did you watch that for this podcast?
Yes.
No, you didn't.
I don't think so. We didn't.
Because I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I own the equipment.
Oh, I mean,
that
must have been
movie.
How I watched it. I mean, I wouldn't have watched it like, for fun.
I seem to believe you probably watched it while wearing a pink bathrobe.
And some Manolo Blahnik shoes, sure.
No, I was going to say with cotton balls between your toes as you painted them.
Okay, I like it.
And eating a pint of Häagen-Dazs with your hair in curlers.
Mm-hmm. With surrounded by a legion of cats.
That do your bidding.
Sure.
And solve crimes.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds great.
In outer space.
Oh, there he is.
House cat.
Did he just say solves crimes in inner space?
No, in outer space. But okay. Inner space would work, too.
Okay. Solves crimes inside Martin Short.
That's basically Osmosis Jones. Solves crimes in inner space.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The hit animated film.
Oh, and subsequent television cartoon program?
Yes.
Osmosis Jones?
Osmosis Jones.
Sure.
Starring the voices of David Hyde Pierce and, Chris Rock?
Mm-hmm. Chris Rock, yeah. Chris Rock in the
What unlikely
the
buddies.
Character.
Yeah.
Unlikely buddies, those two.
No, but they work together.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
They learn to respect each other through osmosis.
Wait, isn't that the same premise?
Syzygy.
Is that the same premise as Meet Dave?
No, Meet Dave is about a race of aliens that live inside a giant spaceship that's human size and is Eddie Murphy.
Looks like Eddie Murphy, and most of the aliens inside Eddie Murphy look like Eddie Murphy,
Why
too.
Why
did
we watch
Wait, is
Meet
that
Dave?
Is that the Clumps?
No. The Clumps is about a family of obese
fat Eddie
diabetics.
Murphy's.
Haunted Mansion.
Haunted Mansion is about Eddie Murphy owning a haunted mansion.
Sure.
It is there's nothing in the title that is not – that there's nothing in the movie that's not explained by that title. Haunted Mansion.
Okay. Why is Eddie Murphy living there? Is it? Doesn't he have a bunch of mansions?
Well, he wanted
take
something
the non-haunted
new.
One.
He was tired of non-haunted mansions.
Okay.
Yeah.
At that point, when you're
For
that
the man
rich,
who has everything.
Exactly.
So, in conclusion, Eddie Murphy's been in a lot of terrible movies.
They should make a movie called Flaunted Mansion.
Why?
Sure.
I don't know. Just about
some
a mansion.
Kind of a dance movie?
This Flaunted? Guy's just always showing off his mansion.
Sure.
Check it out. Three bedrooms. It's a very small mansion.
It's not a mansion so much as a house.
And if it was Flaunt It Mansion, it could be like a cheerleader team moves into a mansion that's actually haunted.
Yeah. Or like Vaunted Mansion, and it can be about Sagamore Hill, Teddy Roosevelt's home.
Okay.
It's certainly as vaunted
that'd
be a mansion like as there ever was.
That'd be like a, that'd be like, shut a it down. Like a movie or
no, more of a book.
Okay.
It's a History Channel special.
1 hour special. Vaunted Mansions.
Sure. Could I download that onto my mobile device and watch it while I'm on the train?
I'm sure you could.
Okay.
You watch it as a Mobisode.
And if I move it back and forth, it'll look like it's in 3D, right?
Oh, yeah. It'll look like the houses are coming right at you.
Whoa.
Guys, we just did a Herald.
Hey!
Came back around.
Oh.
Stuart doesn't know what that means.
I don't know.
It's improv talk.
All right.
Okay.
So
it must be funny.
Let's do our final judgments.
Wow. We spent so little time talking about The Last Airbender.
Because it was the worst movie of the year.
I want
to
apologize to the
Club.
Audience for Dan picking this movie.
Yeah. I want to apologize to me for me picking this movie.
We could have watched.
Yeah. Well, you got a stack of
we were watching the Charlie
Brown programs.
We were watching the Charlie Brown Christmas when you came in. We could have watched the rest of that. And it would have been a holiday classic. And
I was watching porn on my iPhone.
What, was that what you're doing during the
whole time?
During Charlie Brown Christmas.
Whole time. And trying watching, to rub myself while you didn't notice.
You have ruined a Charlie Brown Christmas.
He was watching. Well, Dan, all those guys were masturbating when they were making Charlie Brown Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah, you sure. See the way Lucy's drawn.
Bill Melendez.
Yeah, Bill Molestez. Come on.
Is that a...
I couldn't think of anything for Charles Shaw.
Is that Emilio Molestez?
Emilio Molestez.
Is that slander to say that about
somebody? The best New York Post headline. Emilio Molestez.
Guys, all right, Flophouse Nation, make this happen. Get if any of you are Emilio. Underage, tempt Emilio Estevez into molesting you so we can pitch this headline.
And on some level, I'm sure he'd appreciate the attention.
Of course. It's been a while since he's had a hit. Yeah, Bobby was not what he was hoping.
Mighty Ducks, right? That was his last.
Well, he
hit.
Directed the movie Bobby.
Oh.
A couple years ago.
Which is not about molesting.
No, it's not. It's about Robert Kennedy's assassination.
All right.
That's not. That's
it
not
is
about
a family
ducks
comedy.
Playing hockey,
it is
right?
A Christmas family comedy.
A while back, I was trying to wrap this up. So I'm
the Mighty Ducks is not about ducks that play hockey.
What the fuck's it about then?
It's about a kids' hockey team. It's called the Ducks.
Yeah.
Why?
They do run. They do a hockey wing, like a formation that's like ducks in flight. A V.
It's called
formation.
The Flying
V. Yeah. I never. I'm not familiar with the movie, but I'm aware of their.
I thought it was like.
I saw it. I'm not gonna lie.
The Flying V for Vendetta. Like Scrooge and Launchpad McQuack and shit playing hockey.
Nope, no.
I'm less inclined to see it now, thanks.
Although
I'll take it out of my queue.
But leave in D2, the Mighty Ducks.
Leave in DuckTales, Treasure of the Lost Lamp, because that would have what you want.
Sure. Or the
leave in Fox
or
Tales
the DuckTales, the NES cartridge.
That's a fun game.
Yeah, it's a really good one.
I enjoyed it.
Let's do Final Judgment, shall we? We're not even being entertaining anymore.
This is a good...
Our listenership has dropped 100,000%.
This is a good, bad movie.
Since a minute ago.
A bad, bad movie, or a movie you actually kind of like, Stuart, go.
No, this wasn't very good.
oh, really?
Kel Surprise.
This is a bad, bad movie. It's shot poorly. The action is choreographed strangely.
We didn't even see it in like the bad 3D that everyone was talking about.
It was bad 2D.
Yeah, it was
from
terrible.
The Facts of Life.
I spent the first 15 minutes of the movie complaining that I wasn't watching Willow, for God's sakes. So, what is going on?
I'm sorry, my cat has jumped into a cardboard box that is underneath the table
and
that we're...
scratching it, so, yeah, furiously.
Better that than her scratching the sofa, though. And
says you.
Why don't you guys continue with the final judgment?
I'm going to say that this was a bad, bad movie, a movie that I did not enjoy at all. Oddly enough, it's not my least favorite movie that we've watched.
Sure.
What would that be? Big Money Wrestlers?
I hated Big Money Wrestlers. I hated...
Wrestlers.
Wrestlers, yeah, thank
sorry.
You.
I hated Delgo. There are other movies that I hated.
This movie's very similar to Delgo, though.
Yes, but I found Delgo much more irritating than this film.
Because of the Chris Kattan element?
Yeah. This film I could just sort of zone out and not understand, and that was fine.
Okay.
But no one should watch it.
The sound mixing was very good in this movie.
The sound mixing was very bad, yeah.
Yeah, it's terrible. Elliot, what do you have to say?
I'm going to say it's a good, good movie.
Okay.
No, it's a bad, bad. It's a bad, bad movie.
No, wait, which one's true?
The bad one.
Okay.
It's very bad, and it's weird, like... It's in one of those movies where you watch it and you're like, I can't believe that people made this and released it in the theater and then other people paid money to see it. Like the entire
big movie.
And it was big, but the entire idea of film going breaks down when you see a movie like this. The concept of going to a movie theater and seeing a movie.
Yeah, you even suggested that if you had paid to see this movie through some happenstance, you would have gotten up and left mid-movie.
Yeah. I don't think I would have made it past the 40-minute mark, at most, had I been watching this for any reason other than to mock it on a podcast.
Okay.
And I don't walk out of things, Stuart.
No.
I finish where
I
start.
You're a sticker.
Yeah.
Yep, a sticker-inner.
I stick like glue.
I'm
stuck on you.
That's the thing. Like, I guess looking at the when I saw the trailers,
are you listening to me?
When they started really promoing, like doing the hype for this movie, I got the impression that there might be a lot of like action in it, at least. But no, like all the action you see in the trailers is pretty much all the action from the movie.
Not a lot of action, and very what action there is very slow.
Yeah. What action there is involves bending air, Which is less exciting.
As opposed to like Breaking like, Bones.
Yeah. A lot of Tai Chi and people flying around.
Uh-huh. If you are really like thrilled by what old people, the exercises old people do in the park,
yeah,
you will love this movie.
If you're thrilled by people being blown down by wind, this is the film but for you.
If you've ever seen like a very slow conceptual dance piece and you were like, I wish this is good, but I wish it was a bald kid that was doing it,
yeah,
you should see this movie.
And there were, like, special effects flying around him a little bit.
Yeah. If you were like, oh, man, I wish there was something I could not watch when it was on TV, then this is the movie for you.
Or if you were like, I like The Daily Show's Asif Manvi, but I think I'd like him more as a villain.
Yeah. All right, guys. Enough of these delightful shenanigans.
Okay, so what do we do now?
They were delightful, and they were shenanigans.
I have some...
These frightful shenanigans.
I have some listener mail.
Sure.
Elliot, you do not need to reach into your fantasy mailbag, because we've got some real mail this
There were some
this
good
week.
Letters in the fantasy mailbag.
I know, but...
Dear Stuart, you are needed on a quest.
Okay.
Okay, I'm listening.
There is a legend that you are the chosen one.
I said we don't
How many gold coins are in it for me?
There are four gold coins scattered throughout the land of Mavornia.
No thanks.
Blabas Haskat has to help me get over my mercenary nature as I search for these gold coins.
Okay, no.
Dear Dan.
There's no need for the fantasy mailbag is what I said.
I am a single blonde lady with the following measurements.
We'll talk about that
later.
We'll talk about that
first time writer.
So this email says, as luck would have it, on the day I listened to your most recent episode, I had earlier watched RoboCop 2 for the first time.
Awesome.
The movie was
an
awful.
Important rite of passage.
Nuke.
The movie was awful in that kind of bland 80s sequel way, but it makes me an expert RoboCop on robot. No, sorry. It makes me an expert on RoboCop's retirement options.
Oh, finally.
In searching for candidates for the RoboCop 2 program, the main benefit OCP was going to dangle in front of them was a chance at immortality, with the implication that they would be the property of the Evil Corp forever. So I don't think Peter Weller will be getting much of a retirement package, though it is possible that this is further explored in RoboCop 3, territory into which I dare not go. And that's from Andrew last
game
with Hell.
He's got a jetpack in the trailers for that one.
And he fights a ninja. Be brave, Andrew. Jetpack RoboCop fighting ninja.
It's a PG-13
but that's,
movie.
What though. A terrible agreement. You're going to live forever as our soulless slave. Sounds good. Sign me up. What, and I'm not going to have a penis? Great. Sign me up.
I thought that thing that he extends out of his hand was pretty much like
That's
a penis.
That's just a spike.
That's very
That's a
sharp.
Data spike.
If you try to insert that into a woman, she would be upset.
Well, I mean, a computer. Not a, I mean, you
yeah,
put
he
it
could
a
have sex
oh, you're
with a computer.
Fucking computer. Wait, well, that raises an interesting question. Speaking of Star Wars, as we were earlier, is R2-D2 fucking every computer that it extends that little spike?
Raping those computers.
Wow.
That's why
I don't know. Look at the way the computer on the Star Destroyer was dressed.
Anytime. That is not an excuse, Stuart.
It's
I'm
got
tired
that
of
V
this,
shape.
I'm tired of this blame the computer argument that you hear from so many conservatives these days. Yeah. And that's why, actually, if you watch the deleted scenes, before every time that there's a spaceship chasing them and shooting lasers, you see, you hear, there's that rapist robot we've been trying to catch. They're just trying to catch R2. He's a terrible person, wow. Robot.
That's what the prequel should have been about.
Yes. Yeah. How R2-D2 went bad. Yeah. Let me say one thing that I don't believe I mentioned before about the on an earlier podcast, about the Daily Show Rally to Restore Sanity. We had a lot of big stars there.
Like R2-D2?
Yeah, we did. Well, that's the
yeah,
R2-D2 a lot of big stars
there.
Like Cat Stevens, Ozzy Osbourne, sort of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and R2-D2. And I was so unhappy I didn't get a picture with R2-D2.
Kenny Baker was in the suit?
No, Kenny Baker wasn't there.
Oh, that's too bad.
There was nobody. I didn't want to meet any of the other stars. I just wanted
Kenny Loggins.
I wanted a picture with R2-D2, and my wife is so baffled by how excited I was. She just kept saying, he's not real. Oh, I was so excited. I don't think I've been that excited to meet a fictional character since the Ninja Turtles pizza tour came into my town.
Yeah. I'm delighted by your wife's bafflement at your nerdiness. So, okay, this other email.
Okay.
This is not the last one. This is I say the other one. This is the second one.
The last emailer.
It says, hey
the last
guys.
Mailbender.
Hey guys, it says, got an email on the Bad Film Club mailing list about your podcast. If Nico says you guys are cool, then I'm in, as she can be scary, but in a funny way. Mysterious. I'll go on.
This
I like Nico.
Listen to the last one. I thought it was very funny. Maybe if any of you come to the UK, you can play one of the Bad Film Club live shows.
Whoa.
They're super cool. Anyway, just thought I would say hello from over here in England. Bad Movies Rule, KT, and then she says XX, as in kisses, but she only puts two of them, so one of us doesn't get a kiss.
Yeah, I think I know who does.
Come on, let's not beat around the bush. One for Stuart, one
for
me. I'll
start practicing my Daniel Craig accent. Hello, hello.
Is Daniel Craig here? Wait a second.
It was
Where did he go? Where did he go? I just heard him.
I looked this up. I was
James
not aware
Bond,
of this.
James Bond, whatnot.
The Bad Film Club.
Golden Compass.
The Bad Film Club, very popular series of film screenings in England.
Sure.
They were kind enough to put us on their mailing list. We were a lot of traffic was driven.
Oh, that's great.
To us from them.
I apologize for this episode.
No. I'd like to thank them. KT, who was kind enough to kiss two of us,
sure.
Wanted to know.
Let me guess, not kissing the Leonardo of the group.
I don't know.
Cyclops will just blow her apart with his optic blast.
His eye beams.
Sure.
If she saw a picture, I'm a pretty dreamy fellow. I gotta, just say that.
Yeah,
I'm gonna
more
put
like
that
a
there.
Nightmare.
Sure. Photoshop does wonders.
But I think it's fun that she says, maybe if any of you come to the UK, you can play one of the Bad Film Club live shows, ? And to that I say, sure, if we were invited to play the Bad Film Club live shows, I would be delighted to do that.
Yeah, and if our airfare was covered.
Yeah, if we happen to be in England, that sounds delightful. I mean, that's something that neither of those things have been fulfilled. We're not going to England, and we have not been invited.
Why are we not going to England?
I don't know.
You heard it here first, folks. The Flophouse is going to England.
Yeah, okay. We're starting
Flophouse
a charity
European
drive.
European vacation.
Yeah.
We're starting a charity drive where
okay.
We're
going to sell.
Pack the car.
We'll accumulate money.
We're going to leave tonight and drive to London.
I was just going to jump in. I was going to say you're going to sell your used underwear, like
sure,
like those Japanese vending machines where you can get the schoolgirls' panties.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I'll sell my schoolgirl panty collection. I hate to part with it.
You spent years assembling that collection. It's one of the finest in the Western Hemisphere.
Yep. It's in my storage locker that's kept at a perfect 75 degrees.
We'll sell individual hairs off of Stuart's mustache.
In Japan, Stuart is known as Pantyu Gaijin.
I go to Panty Otaku conventions.
Pantaku.
Yeah, Pantaku. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is enough of this.
No, but I'm gratified that we were put on this mailing list.
Yeah,
that
was very cool.
Now we've got.
I feel more
fans.
Exotic already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and thank you, KT. Although should we start time and close one more kiss? That's all I'm saying.
Nope. And thank you, Bad Movie Club.
Should we start listing all of the movies we review in their like European titles as well from now on?
Most of them are the same.
Oh, okay. But I think the Bulgarian title for this one was Avatar: Bender of the Elements.
Yeah. I think the English title for this one was The Zed Airbender. Huh? Come on. Come on, guys. Zed Airbender, that's pretty good. Come on.
I apologize, England.
Come on.
I apologize to all our recent new English listeners. Want to hear some more Daniel Craig?
Hello. I'm James Bond.
I is.
Chimney sweep James Bond. Dick Van Dyke chimney sweep James Bond.
Okay, so this one is from Andrew last name withheld.
We got some good letters this week.
Oh, sure. Andrew, last name withheld, says, Floppers, after suffering crippling delays on a recent JetBlue flight, the entire plane was compensated with a free showing of the Tom Cruise, Cameron Diaz Stinkfest,
Night and Day.
I'm a frequent listener to your hilarious show, but Night and Day is the first movie I've had to suffer through that compelled me to write in. It's everything a movie should not
House
be.
House cat, don't interrupt.
It's everything a movie
supports.
Should not be: an unfunny comedy, a boring action flick, and a romance without chemistry between the lead actors. Tom Cruise is a standout. In 15 years, he's gone from being a credible spy in Mission Impossible to some sort of creepy loner with a gun in Night and Day. You'd be doing a great service to the world if you give it the old Flophouse treatment. What do you think, guys? Night and Day?
Yeah, I'd be up to flopping that.
Yeah, I'll give it my treatment.
Now that I've seen the worst that film has to offer.
Treatment.
Yep.
On HBO. Ugh. Get a kickback every time.
All right. Listen. We're not usually like this.
Hey, that's the movie Gabriel where that's the movie where they spell knight like he's a knight, like yeah. he's like an old-timey knight.
I thought it was going to be like Kate and Leopold or whatever that movie was called.
It is Kate Leopold.
Tom Cruise is a knight from medieval times who comes to modern
that's
days.
Hugh Jackman's in that movie, not Tom Cruise.
No, but I thought Night and Day was going to be like that.
You thought it was going to be like Black Knight starring Martin Lawrence.
Exactly. Yes.
Similar in some ways.
Yeah.
Black Knight, produced by the same man who produced Little Murders, the movie I'm showing on January 5th.
Awesome. Is Martin Lawrence in that movie?
What?
Is Martin Lawrence
No,
in that
Martin
movie?
Lawrence is not in that movie.
That's too bad.
All right. Yeah, every movie show. If Martin Lawrence had been an airbender, it would have been
sure.
a much better movie.
Sad Boys 2 is a much better movie than The Airbender.
It was a much better movie. It's so hard to find a movie that fits into the sentence, Bad Boys 2 is a much better movie than...
Well,
Airbender doesn't feature
two animatronic rats having sex.
Yeah, Bad Boys 2 is the epitome of a good bad movie. That is an excellent bad movie. When they plow through that Cuban shantytown with no regard for the families that they have mowed down.
They all work in, like, Coke production facilities.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a – yeah. And as you say, the scene where Martin Lawrence watches
stumbles
two
upon.
Puppet rats fucking each other.
For no reason.
It's like –
I think the rats have a reason for having sex.
No, the rats have a reason. There's no reason to include that scene in the film.
It's hilarious.
No.
I remember when we watched that. You were like rolling in the aisle.
You're right. I was ROTFL.
You were throwing your popcorn in the air.
I was for some reason I represent laughter by tossing popcorn into the air.
Yeah, and your nachos.
I remember I saw that movie in the theater for some reason, and the guy next to me
I know the
was
reason
like
because it's fucking
me.
Awesome.
The guy next to me was punching me in the shoulder. He's like, "Did you see that?" And I'm like, "Yeah, pretty good."
Was that
yeah.
my steward?
What's me? I was punching him in the nachos. Mm. What is that, a cat?
Yeah, there's a cat under our feet.
I know which cat.
So, and the last email is from Brian Last Name With Hell.
Wait, let's just take a moment to savor this last email.
Yeah. We should.
The last mailbender, right?
The last mailbender, yeah.
The last mailbender tonight is from
Brian. The last genderbender.
Brian Last Name With Hell. And I think it's inspired by your fantasy mailbag.
Fantasy mailbag, letters that aren't real.
Inspired.
I did. I copyright it now. So it's like happy birthday. People have to pay me when they sing it.
Inspired by they do. Inspired by Elliot's new segment, Brian Last Name Withheld says, "Hi Dan. How are you doing? How was your turkey day?" And I'd like to say to
that's
you, Brian,
the whole letter?
That's the whole letter.
Are you sure that was a Flophouse letter?
Why did you do his voice so stupid?
No, that was me being caring.
No, it sounds stupid. Like, you're making fun of his voice.
All right. I don't know what he sounds like.
Well, how was your turkey day?
It was a delight.
What do you have?
I went to our friends, the Birds.
Okay.
I brought some.
They're strictly for the Birds.
Mm-hmm.
Recently impregnated.
Yeah. Well, one of them is.
Well,
nope,
yeah.
Both.
I'll let
both
you guess
husband
which
and wife.
One with a young child and one with an alien baby. No, I brought some. I brought some delicious bread. Much like I brought to your potluck,
we had a non Flophouse related potluck mm-hmm. dinner at
I made,
Stewart's place.
I made a crack pie,
mm-hmm.
and we had a delicious. We had a great Thanksgiving. Sadly, that was the thing. That was the meal that made me sick because both of the birds had a cold, and you shouldn't go to a meal at a house where the people serving you that meal have had a disease recently.
Sounds
but
like they were the turkeys.
Otherwise, it was great.
How long were you waiting to say that one?
Like a minute.
So
that's why you were extra hilarious last.
Yeah, that is why.
Podcast.
But I'd like to.
You were. I don't know why, but you are. You know, it was. It did work out in the last podcast that you were sick and had no idea what was going on.
Yeah. I mean, I re-listened to it. I was less woozy than I thought at the time.
Oh,
but
that was just you acting.
But yeah, no,
I think you should listen to it again.
Okay. Three times the charm.
Listen to it backwards and see all the subliminal messages we put in there.
Rip, 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 rabbit. That's what it sounds like when you do it backwards.
It's not really a subliminal message. It's just what it sounds like when you
yeah.
tape backwards.
What he's saying.
You got to slow it down, too.
Okay.
What happens when you slow it down?
I make house cat noises.
So thank you, Brian, for that expression of personal concern.
Yeah, concern, sure.
Thank you to everyone who wrote in.
Yeah, that's really awesome.
More people want to write in. Where should they write to, Dan?
They should write to theflophousepodcast@gmail.com.
Okay, and if you want to send missives to the Housecat, send it to housecat@theinternet.edu.
Care of Stuart Wellington, 123 Main Street,
and,
America, New Jersey.
Make sure he gets it. He can't read English. So.
And he only speaks Housecat, right?
He only speaks cat, so I'd have to translate.
And if anyone wants, write in, we got to create a Flophouse Housecat groundswell so we can get someone... Sure. Interested to make merchandise.
You can also run it through Babelfish, the Babelfish program on the internet.
Just set it from cat to English.
Yep. Yeah. Or the other way around. It doesn't matter.
Or English to cat.
Yeah, you'll figure it out. Or there's probably some kind of an iPhone app.
All right.
Well, let's get back to what you were talking about.
Guys, we had such a bursting mailbag that we have to do our recommendations fast this week, but
fast and loose.
What movies have you seen recently that you might recommend in lieu of The Last Airbender? Ellie, do you have one?
In lieu of The Last Airbender, I'd recommend any other movie ever made.
Okay.
But I will also recommend the new filming version of True Grit. Mm-hmm. I saw it on Tuesday, and it was very good, and I'd recommend it.
Okay. Well, that was even speedier than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the movie Louie Bluey. Documentary. It was Terry Zwigoff's first movie. He made it before Crumb, but it has a lot of like the same themes. I mean, it's about an elderly.
It's about a family of crazy brothers.
Well, no, it's about
one of whom is a famous cartoonist.
It's about an aging blues musician. It's blues and old country musician, and he's also
is he a bad Santa? Is that the movie you're talking about?
Some kind of art school. Confidential.
Well, actually, the blues musician in Louie Bluey, he's also an artist. There's a great sequence in it where he pulls this like book out that is like just like labeled pornography. But when you like open it up, it's like this like illuminated manuscript. It's like an old time. Like he's written out in calligraphy all these like stories from his life, but they're all like sex related. And he's got these like great like sex cartoons. But it's only an hour long. And it's a great documentary. If you like Crumb at all, it's a good documentary. If you like
old
like blues,
Crumb? It's a great movie.
It's a good documentary, and it also it shows you how much of like Terry Zwigoff is in the character of Steve Buscemi in Ghost World, because you can see that the guy who made Louie Bluey was basically Steve Buscemi in Ghost World. So I recommend that movie.
What is it going to be? Invisible Maniac? Three?
I want to recommend a little movie called Magnum Force.
Oh.
It's the second Dirty Harry movie. It's awesome.
It's about the condoms.
I like Magnum Force better than the first Dirty Harry.
Really?
Yeah, I think I can agree with you. And yeah, Hal Holbrook's
it's
really
no
good.
Deadpool.
In it.
Wait,
in that it's good.
Yes.
Yeah, Hal Holbrook's really good in it. Yeah.
Academy Award nominee for Into the Wild, Hal Holbrook.
Yep, he's really good as a scheming police commissioner, I think.
Wow. You really remember this movie well that you're recommending.
I remember that it's totally awesome.
He may be playing Mark Twain, I'm not sure.
Or Edgar Allan Poe.
He may just be playing Mark Twain tonight. Tomorrow,
do you even call him Mark Taint?
Yeah, Mark Taint was his pen name. Mark Twain was Samuel Clemens' pen name. When he wrote pornography, he was Mark Taint.
It's a little lowbrow. I guess that's the voice of Americana right there.
Yeah, that's folk ways. Folk porn. Fuckleberry Finn.
Now you're fast.
Tom Sawyer. Her.
Yep, that's good. Keep it up.
These are all... The celebrated jumping frog of Calaver, yeah. County.
Connecticut Yankee and King Arthur's cunt.
Whoa, hold on.
Puddinghead Wilson's vagina?
Puddinghead Wilson.
Yeah, you don't have to change that one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, on that...
And roughing it.
But that's R-U-F-F,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because it's about...
Muffing it.
This is a terrible turn. I should never have brought us down this road.
What would you fucking do, dude?
What did I do? Housecat, save us. Okay, we're back on track.
On that literary pornographic note, this has been The Flophouse, and I've been Dan McCoy.
I've been Stuart Wellington.
I'm ashamed to say I'm Elliot Kalin.
Good night,
man,
everyone.
All the British people aren't going to listen anymore after that.
Ooh.
Testing, testing. The Flophouse Hascat is everyone's favorite Flophouse mascot.
Flascot.
Flascot, yeah.
I was offered $10,000 to sell the rights of the Flophouse Hascat to M. Night Shyamalan for the live-action movie. Yeah.
The Last House Cat?